Uh-oh. I didn't write a thing.
Are you serious?
I took so many notes. Well, normally I write one or two during the movie, and I wrote so many notes, I was like, obviously, Tyler, I wrote a thing.
Oh, no, I found it.
I'm so proud of you. You found it. You did
it. It's not good.
It's not good.
I wrote it. That's the important thing.
Do it. Ready? Three, two.
Welcome to Opinion Havers, a movie podcast for people who are 67 years old. I'm Cody.
I'm Tyler.
Tyler, did you get it? Whoa, where'd you get that?
It's in my backpack.
Ugh, so good. Tyler, did you get my thing?
Yeah, 67. Is it about the Joker comedian?
No. It was about the mom, the Silk Spectre mom. And she's like very obviously a 35-year-old woman with like...
Oh, you're talking about the mom from...
with like mediocre make... Do you want me to move this for you? There you go.
Thank you. You talking about the mom from Spy Kids?
Is that who that is?
Yes, that is who that is.
Anyway, and she's like, I'm 67 years old. And you're like, yeah.
Fun fact.
Right.
Zack Snyder cast those people because he felt it would be easier to make them look older than
old younger.
People look young.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Except, I don't know that they James pulled it Dean, off. They were just like, yeah, we're just going to make you older. We're just going to say that you were born in 1918 instead of 1924.
Oh. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember reading about that.
No, you
Tyler,
don't.
What do we watch?
Being Watchmen.
Yeah.
We Who watches the Watchmen? We watch the Watchmen.
That would have been a good one to do.
Yeah.
I failed this.
Cody, when are you going to learn that I'm better than you?
I will prove to you one day that I am better than me. What?
What? So, Cody.
Yeah.
Your first foray into Zack Snyder films.
No. There's something of his I've seen. Probably.
Well, you did. Didn't you see? I thought you'd seen a bunch of his movies, but in reality, haven't you seen Batman vs Superman?
Is this my first Zack Snyder movie?
I thought you'd seen that because you were like, "That's not as bad as people thought," or something like that.
Nope, I definitely haven't seen any of those DC movies.
Is this your first?
My first Zack Snyder?
Have I popped the Snyder cherry? Yeah.
Ugh.
It is exactly as pleasant sounding as it is.
We're talking once he's directed, right?
Yes.
Films? Out of the movies he's directed...
Huh?
This is the first one I've seen. But to be fair, I've seen bits of almost all of his movies. So that's something.
Yeah, I've seen 10
minutes of Dawn of the Dead. I've seen like 25 minutes of 300.
Don't give yourself that extra 5 minutes.
I've seen the trailer for Legend of the Guardians, The Owls of Ga'Hoole.
He did that movie?
How did this get made on Sucker Punch?
Owls of Ga'Hoole.
I saw a solid 6 minutes of Man of Steel.
The Owls movie? Actually pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd
recommend
it. About
it. It's a good one.
Anyway, yeah, my first Zack Snyder movie. We did it.
He made The Owls of Ga'Hoole?
It's the same thing like when I found out Eli Roth did The House with Clocks on Its Walls. I was like, what?
But what other movies has he really done, you know?
Eli Roth?
Yeah.
He did The Hostel.
Mm-hmm.
1 and 2, probably.
Mm-hmm. Something like Insidious or something dumb.
Yeah.
So yeah, Cody.
My maiden voyage on the Zack Snyder boat.
Let me tell you, it doesn't get better than this.
This is the best one, you think?
I don't know. It's a good one.
I mean, out of everything I've seen of all of his movies, I think I could see this being his best one.
I've heard a lot of people think that this is his best one, but a lot of people also think that the Earth is flat.
How many people think the Earth is flat, would you guess? Let's say there's 7 billion people on the Earth.
Vamp. Give me a vamp. Vamp for me? Vamp.
What?
You're not vamping. Vamp.
Yeah. What?
Go.
In all the age of time, since the dawn of mankind,
I'm on the Flat Earth Society Facebook page. 196,691 people have liked it.
Okay, that's pretty good. It's a good following. It's almost as many people as follow this podcast. If you're a flat earther,
let's go through their top 11 fans. Gregory Russ.
Oh, he's a listener.
Monte Mayer.
Oh, her sister's a listener.
That's a guy.
Yeah. Yep.
Quinn O'Brien, and then it doesn't show me the rest of them, but they've been the top fans for 3 weeks.
They're most recent to the cause.
Post February 4th. No, that's the pinned post. Most recent post was on March 5th. Dating the podcast here. More shoddy journalism, taking a forum post made by a round earther in 2012, Dan Broadbent, at a science enthusiast, makes the conclusion that flat earthers believe in a torus shaped earth, and it's a donut. A dangerously insane.
I just wonder, like, which planet is the cup of coffee the Earth donut is going to be dunked into?
Mars.
Wow, you came clapped right back with that. You're ready.
Yeah.
You've thought about this. Mm.
And when you think about a standard cup of coffee, right? You get your Starbucks, what is it, 16 ounce, right? You get that nice bit of venti or whatever.
Venti's 20. 20.
But, you know, you take your standard There's cup
tall,
size.
The grande, I think, is your 16.
Yeah. So we'll say that's a standard. It's not. Everybody goes for the venti. Let's be real. You take a donut, they're roughly the same volume.
Mm-hmm. A donut and a 16-ounce coffee are the same volume? Roughly.
They go together.
Right. So if you got 16 ounces of coffee, it'll get you through one regular donut.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
How many donuts are you using? I mean, donuts you using on that coffee?
I'm using 1 1/3, which is a problem because then I got 2/3 of donut, and I don't know what to do.
So what
that.
You're saying would be it would make more sense if. So what we need to do is make Mars the donut and Earth the coffee, because then they will be proportionally accurate based on your numbers.
Yes, that's yes, Professor. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Because Mars, if you didn't know, 1/6 or not 1/6. It's, what is it? 0.6, 60%, right? The mass of Earth.
It would make sense if Earth was the coffee because Earth is mostly liquid. There's so much water on Earth.
And
it'd
coffee.
Be easier to make it into. Yeah. People on Earth drink a lot more coffee than people on Mars.
As far as we know.
As far as we know.
As far as the government has allowed us to.
The red mole people of Mars might disagree with us, but until they make contact.
Richard Nixon had the opportunity to tell us all about it, and he chose instead to spy on the Democrats.
Yes. Watergate.
I honestly forgot
what party Nixon
was. Yeah. I was like, what party? I'm like, that's a dumb question. Of course, yes, he's a Democrat. So he's a Democratic. Yes. Hold, please. There we go. I wanted to make sure. I think I moved the cord a little bit with my foot.
Yeah, you did. So, Tyler, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's my turn to give
Your
us the
turn?
Rundown of this movie.
Tell me, how many times are you going to reference the Flat Earth Society?
I wasn't going to do any, but if you
okay.
need
I mean,
it.
You know, it's whatever, you know?
I just don't want you making my choices for me.
I mean, if you're happy letting the lizard men tell you what's what, that's fine.
The year is 1980-something, probably.
85.
1985, definitely. The universe is parallel. Things are similar, but a little bit different. History's taken a little different turn. And we see superheroes, and the times are changing, and the 60s happen, but people, it's all these shots, and you see David Bowie, and you see John F. Kennedy, but we know who shot him, and you might be a superhero. Everything's a little different, but we're past the heyday. All superheroes are, like, retired and sad. I forget why, but they are superheroes.
There's a law against superheroes.
Watchmen. What?
They passed a law banning the masks.
Passed a law, much like Incredibles.
Yeah.
There we go. I did it.
Much less family friendly.
I nailed it. I just want to say that.
You got it. High five.
Hey. Ooh, that's a good one. Tyler, you've seen this before? What did you think of this? Watching this through again? How did it hold up for you? Did you enjoy it? Did you hate it? Did you love it? Take your time. Take your time. Nice. Breathe in. Breathe out. Sure.
Upon a second viewing of the Watchmen film. Excuse me. I was surprised at the lack of movement in the story and the surprising amount of length to the film to support that lack of movement in the story.
Interesting. Very profound thoughts.
Yes.
I'll share my thoughts. There were some things I loved about this. There were a lot of things I didn't care for.
Name one.
Story. I don't know. The story, like you mentioned, just kind of meandering, and it seems like it wasn't until the last 20 minutes that I quite knew what the story was about. But there were some really cool characters, and I think there was a lot of quality to the production.
Oh. So much.
It was a very ambitious film. So ambitious, so long, so many effects needed to happen.
Really almost like it could have been three movies. Testing
the limits of 2009's capabilities. Some of the effects held up. Some of them did not.
There's one effect in particular that I will, when we get to the point, I will call out, and I'm interested to know if you noticed it. A little teaser. A little foreshadowing. Except not really. It's more. It's just teasing what's happening. See this?
Yeah. Oh, you crushed your can. Like a superhero. What I'm amazed by? I'm looking like a super. I'm amazed that your peach Red Bull is clear in color.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like foggy, almost like a cocoa nut.
Yeah, that bowl. That is kind of the vibe I'm getting. Anywho, is
you
it?
You like it still? Yeah, you would. Is it peachy?
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Ah, that's nice. Tyler, did you give us the teaser of your effect? I can't recall. I was really distracted by how strong you were crushing that can.
No, I was just saying I was going to bring it up as a teaser.
Well, I think it might be time.
Miss Time?
Touch me. Take me there, Tyler.
I will channel the cosmic energy through my flaccid penis. No, don't let go. Don't you let go. Okay. It's blue and it's floppy. And it's channeling. Zerp. That's the sound he made.
Are we in a parallel version of Spoiler Town USA right now?
Yeah.
I was confused because I don't know why. In my mind, I thought that this was a classic graphic novel from like the 50s. No. I even read the first three pages of the graphic novel and I was like, this looks like it's from 1954. And so in my mind,
it's based in the 80s.
Hey, hold on. Don't judge me. I don't know when the first three pages of Watchmen took, because the beginning of this movie, it's going through the 50s, the 60s, the set up to the 80s.
Are you talking about the beginning sequence events? That's like a bunch of stills?
So anyway, point is, I don't know why in my mind I thought that. So then when everything was happening, I was like, oh, did they just update this to modern times? And they were like anyway, I don't.
So go ahead.
I was so confused. Anyway, then I found out this was made in 86 and it took place in 85. And I was like, well, that makes more sense than the thing I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Oh, Tyler.
Would you do? What do you think the feelings of the author are about Richard Nixon?
Anti?
You think so?
I don't know. Pro?
Very noncommittal on it.
I mean, in this parallel universe, he's like is on his fourth or fifth term as president.
Fourth
term. And by the way, I kind of wish they hadn't gone with like the prosthetic makeup Nixon. I wish they just hired someone that looked kind of like Nixon. Like it was like a caricature of him.
I think that's what it was going for,
the cartoon vibe.
It's supposed to be like the guy was anti-Nixon, I'm pretty sure, and it's supposed to be like Nixon looks dumb in the comics, I think.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up. Vamp.
But it wasn't even like Nixon looks dumb. It's just like Nixon looks bad in this. Like, you tried to age Nixon some, but it looks like a guy wearing a rubber Nixon mask. I don't know.
I mean, it was more just a rubber Nixon nose.
This movie was weird because you could tell it was like, oh, we're R-rated comic book movie, which is like, this has to be like the first of its kind, right? Except for maybe like Sin City. You know, there aren't a lot of these. Now we've got movies like Deadpool and stuff. I think there's Logan. But this one, it was like, we're dark, we're brooding, we're intense, we're R-rated. But then, like, there were some real silly things like Nixon.
Nixon. Ah, Nixon.
It was so cartoony, I don't know.
So do you think, who do you think did it better, really, in the gritty, R-rated comic book? Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino or Zack Snyder?
I mean, it's a close race. It's a tough one.
I can tell you the scores are closer than I would have think.
I guess I'd have to say Sin City was much better.
I mean, most people seem to agree.
It's also just cooler style. It's like noir stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I will say, I mean, there were some cool effects. There was some cool action. Like, even the opening scene, it's the guy we come to know as the comedian getting taken out.
He gets him.
That was a cool scene. That was a really cool intro.
Yep.
They all fight a bunch, cracks his head, bunches holes in the wall, throws him out the window. That's cool.
The Nixon in the comics just looks like Nixon.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just Richard Nixon.
He looks like the cartoon graphic novel drawing of Nixon I'm looking at right now looks way more like Richard Nixon than the rubber mask.
Here's what it looks like. It's like they looked at this picture and they're like, oh, so that's the tip of his nose. So we just got to take like a ball and glue it on the end there and then just kind of use Play-Doh to. It flaps. It flaps while he's talking. It moves. It does a little brum. Like when he's like talking about, how he's going to have to use the nukes and then it's in God's hands then. And he kind of like turns and he's getting real jolly. His nose is like. Yeah. And it's like, what? Nixon, very jolly man.
Mm-hmm.
He did a lot of. This guy, he just kind of talked to his teeth. He's like, I'm just, you know, that's a higher power than my. That's Nixon talked with his jowls. You're talking with the teeth. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's been several fantastic portrayals of Richard Nixon, and they did not nail it.
Yeah, that's one of the things where I was like, if you're going to be the hardcore movie, go hardcore movie. If you're going to be the crazy old stuff comic book, be that. But you can't. It's hard to be both. And there were some scenes where I was like,
I don't think they were trying to be funny with that, though. I think they just did a bad job. Who did it? Because I'm pretty sure it's not like some no-name actor. It's like, they're like, oh, we're going to get this guy to do it. And he did a bad job. I would have done a better job. I'm throwing it down.
On the makeup?
No, as Nixon.
Nixon acting.
I would have been a better Richard Nixon. I could have been jolly.
I know you could be.
Robert. Okay, so here's the thing that kills me, though, is if you look at Robert Wisden, right?
The actor who plays Nixon.
I mean, you could have just put him in there.
Yeah, you could have.
You don't have to do anything to him.
Why did you give him 4 hours of makeup?
That, like, look him up, okay? Look him up. Like, he doesn't look exactly like Richard Nixon. But it's a movie.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking at the nose right now.
It's very aggressive. And the guy, he's just, yeah, like he could pass for him as a, you know, like in a movie setting. Like this was.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. It's like, here's the problem, is it's like they use the makeup to take a guy who's already fairly close to try to make him look more like him, but they got like, it's like it's close enough that it's like very noticeable how not Richard Nixon he is.
Yeah.
Whereas if they had just been like, he looks vaguely like him and can talk like
this
him.
This takes place in a parallel universe. So it's also, like you could even...
There are so many people from the Stargate show TV series in this. The general.
Okay.
One of the generals is the Russian, like, head of the Stargate program for Russia. Yeah. The guy who plays Nixon.
Yes.
He's in Stargate. Oh my
gosh. He's also in X-Files.
Like, it's like they're... So they're like, we'll get all these big name actors. And then we're going to go to Sci-Fi Channel and get the rest of them.
Yeah, it was...
I loved this movie. I liked it a lot less the second time, though.
Yeah. Well, it was such an event. I was reading somewhere, it was like the widest release of an R-rated movie to date, like at the time. It was a huge event.
Well, yeah, you had Jeffrey Dean Morgan. You had the mom from Spy Kids.
Yeah.
You had Danny Woodburn.
The best Wilson Patrick.
Patrick Wilson?
Yep, the best one.
Best one?
We're talking about Luke. We're talking about Owen. We're talking about Patrick. You got to go with Patrick.
Is he most related beloved. To them?
I don't think he is, but in my mind, they're triplets.
That'd be amazing if he was related to I'm going to need you to... do some vamping.
Yeah, if I could just vamp for a moment. So in the very beginning, some masked dark figure comes, kills the comedian.
Kills him.
The detectives come, they look through the apartment, they're like, this guy sure died, and then they leave. And then the Rorschach, who's the inkblot face superhero guy,
yes,
goes up into the apartment, goes to the closet, presses the red button, there's all his stuff. Like his superhero stuff. And it's like, wait... Detectives, you didn't see the big red button in the closet? They're bad detectives. I'm just going to say it.
They're in a blast. Superhero book. Of course they're bad.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
They're fat and liberal.
I'll say, too, like, when Rorschach came up, I was really excited for his character. I was like, well, he's the cool guy. Inkblot face guy, he's my favorite from the trailer. Yeah, I was like, Inkblot face guy is cool.
And then he insulted you.
And then, what'd he do?
Well, he's talking about how dumb liberals were.
Like, he did his voice, and I was like, "Ah, this voice is too much. I don't like it."
You don't like
I wanted him to have like a high, silly voice. I don't know why. Just like
his voice is in the trailer,
deep and gravelly and Batman-y that I was like, ah, "I'm not." But you know what? Darn it all! If he didn't win me over, and by the end, he was by far my favorite character.
Yeah, he
I
was.
Like, Rorschach. He's like by far the best part of this movie.
Well, if that's what I think, if they had just made the whole movie Rorschach and his point of view just followed him the whole time.
Yeah.
It would have been an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, and a fantastic film.
For sure.
But they tried to show all of them when you didn't care about half of them.
I mean, it's like a 12 series graphic novel, and they tried to cram so much and cram all these origin stories and all these perspectives and all these characters you didn't really like that much. Whereas Rorschach, like they show the origin stories of like most of the heroes, if not all of them. And Rorschach is the only one that I was actually invested in. The other ones, I'm like,
the only one I feel like they dove in.
They delve into. Well,
because, like, Night Owl was like, yep, I went into crime fighting.
At night.
Well, it's like, he's like, there's an old Night Owl. I went into crime fighting. He taught me stuff. I have a bunch of money from my dad. Backstory complete. Silk Spectre. Mom was Silk Spectre. Backstory complete.
I guess they show a lot of like the superheroes through the ages leading up to today.
Yeah.
And not so much the origin stories of the individuals.
That also, surprisingly enough, it's just that beginning sequence is the only time they ever really show the
But I mean, they do flashbacks and stuff with
specifically with the comedian.
They also show Dr. Manhattan's origin.
Yeah, they do show Dr. Manhattan's origin.
And that one was good, too.
They never show good old Ozzy's. Because he's just smart Ozzy. Ozymandias.
Smart, yeah.
Vite. Vadit. Vadak. Vadit. Vadit.
Vite. Here's the thing. There's a scene where Vite is being like the smart guy and talking, and there's like your people, and he's like, I'm the smart guy talking. And I looked at him, and I saw his blonde face. I don't know if you know this. I'm blonde. I was like, is this how much the rest of the world hates blonde people? Because I get it. Like,
oh, he's a very hateable guy.
I
was but...
like, wow, do people hate me because I ever look and sound like this? Because I hate this dude so much. Yes.
Yeah, he's very hateable, but I also, I'm like, he's the, like, of the ones that I like their storyline the most and their character the most, definitely Rorschach. I think everybody can agree on Rorschach's the best.
Yeah.
But Ozymandias here, Vite, he's like stereotypically you're like really powerful and cool, but I hate you.
Yeah, it was weird. It's like, oh, you're the smartest man in the world. Great. Oh, you're super strong, super here. Awesome. Oh, you're the fast. You're the CEO of this giant corporation, and just like, yeah, almost every shot of him is in his giant penthouse.
What's his office?
Office, and just like, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's So I think he's an intriguing character, but he makes it much better. The role that he plays is like the best role for that kind of character. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, where they cut to him rarely, and there's always something happens. They never just cut to him and be like, what's he up to? Like they do with some of the other ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause like you were talking about how long his movie is, and it's like, if you cut out the Night Owl, what's Silk Spectre's daughter's name? Her superhero name? She also is Silk Spectre?
Silk Spectre, yeah.
Silk Spectre 2. Like, if they cut out that whole...
Latex Spectre.
If they cut out that whole thing, I would have been fine, too. Like, that didn't do anything
but
for me.
But you gotta admit, there's a sex scene on Archie. I kept being like, wait. I love how he's like, wait, it gets better. And it would get, like, more nudity. And I'm like, no. That's not what I'm talking about. Waiting for when she hits the flamethrower.
They're making love... inside of his superhero spaceship.
Archie.
Called Archie. And during the lovemaking scene, which first off, I mean, she hits the button and the fire shoots out. And there's people like, why is there a spaceship with fire shooting out of? Anyway.
No, there's a cloud. So it just looks like a lit up cloud.
Anyway, here's my thing. I could not handle the song choice of that sex. It was aggressive. So what song was that?
I have no idea.
A famous song, Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
I heard there was a secret chord. David played Please the Lord, blah, blah, blah. But it was a cover, and it was slow, and it was sultry, and it was sexy. I was like, I don't...
Some love
this is like a
making
vaguely Christian song, and there's people just fornicating. this is not... why is this happening?
Yeah. I was just... Every time, I was like, it gets better. Oh, there's more nudity. Oh, man. No, it's not what I'm talking about. Cody, no. Don't. Think less of me. It's funny what I'm expecting. It's funny. I forgot how long that scene was, and I felt very so. I felt like I was watching it with my mother.
I couldn't handle it. I had a problem with a lot of the music in this movie. Yeah. Like, I was looking at this, and I was like, oh my gosh, of course. Oh, it's 60s. Oh, Bob Dylan, Jimi Hendrix, The Sound of Silence, of course. And then, 80s. And then, not during all the 60s scenes, right? The time started changing. It was playing during the 60s flashbacks. Oh, yeah. Anyway, point is, and you're right, it jumps to the 80s, and that's when they're doing Sound of Silence. And I was just like, these, of course. And then I looked it up, and guess what? Mm. They picked those songs because they're specifically referenced in the graphic novels. Well, that makes sense. But that's when I realized, this movie, it is the Forrest Gump of superhero movies.
It's too long and goes nowhere.
No, it takes history and is like, yeah, but what if Forrest Gump was there? You know, like all these like moments in the 60s and the whatever, and they're like changing. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is just the Forrest Gump of, and I think Forrest Gump is a fine movie, but I think it was overrated.
I'm not a huge fan of it.
I don't know. I think too, that was a movie I watched by myself, which I guess was a mistake. It's sort of like if you've never seen Princess Bride or Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and then you watch it with a group of people and they grew up with that movie and they're like, right? it's amazing, but you're just kind of like, yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
I would also say those movies are better than Forrest Gump, but...
Oh, yeah.
Anyway...
You want to talk about overrated film, though. Princess Bride.
It's one of those things where, like, this is just, like, a fun family movie, but people paint it to be, like, classic cinema. You know what I'm saying?
People put it... So, here's the thing. We watched what is actually considered, a classic film. Like, this was a moment in filmmaking. It's a classic film that has withstood the test of time. Not necessarily as, like, a movie that everybody loves to watch every Friday night, but just as, like, it was done so well, which was A Tale of Two Cities. And then you watch Princess Bride. And people are like, best movie ever made. And it's like, is it, though? It's a good movie.
Yeah, I think sometimes people are like, time. Kramer versus Kramer and A Tale of Two Cities and whatever else. And then they throw it in with those. And you're like, that's not quite the same. Yeah. But it's a great, I think it's a great movie.
I think it's.
But not in the same way people, it's just, yeah. Whatever.
It's, yeah. It's a good movie that is absolutely ruined by the people who, it's like, it's what? It's kind of like Rick and Morty. It shares a problem with Rick and Morty where the fans of it are insufferable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good movie. Like, just like it's a good show, but the fans are awful.
Well, Kaylin, my roommate, has not seen The Princess Bride, and he's like, I need to see it. I was like, yeah, see it. Don't see it with a group of people.
Or see it like with you and me.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, it's
all
right.
Because there was like a church activity and they were like, we're all going to get together. We're going to watch Princess Bride. And like I rolled up and there were 30 youths.
Youths.
All misquoting every line of the movie. I was like, why are you? You're not even saying the lines right. And they're like misquoting the movie the whole time. I was like, this is ruining this movie for me. It's terrible.
I watched a film.
What?
With a group of young men. When I was a young man. And there was a guy, and he quoted exactly, did not miss a beat, the entire movie.
Princess Bride?
Nacho Libre.
Of all the movies to memorize in the world.
And I was just like, this is annoying, but impressive.
Wow, that is a skill.
He did not get a single thing wrong. He corrected the movie.
I'm just trying to think of what happened to him that he was locked in a room for 3 months with Nacho Libre and no.
It's a good movie.
I love Nacho Libre. I'm not putting Nacho Libre on blast.
You watch it; it's not hard to remember everything that's said.
It's true
because. Most of the lines that Jack Black has are jokes. So it's like, you just got to remember like 50 jokes.
Interesting. Here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why is the comedian in this movie? What is his redeeming quality? Why do we care? How does he serve the story? Why is he there?
I'll tell you why he's there. Because every single one of these is like a gritty attempt to make like a realistic version of comic book characters. And his is, let's take the Joker, make him slightly more realistic, and say instead of deciding to be bad, he decides to be good, but be just as like whatever.
The good guys. Like
yeah.
Chaotic neutral or.
Whatever. Yeah, like he's just because that's what he is. He is like on those, you know, it was those charts that people make with like movie characters. It's like this is how D&D stuff works. It's like this. Those are always fun to look at. But he's usually like chaotic. Some people, the smart people, put him as neutral because he's just like nah, chaos.
Yeah, it just seemed like how is he with the good guys but also raping people and. Exploding villages
because,
and doing all these terrible things to everyone.
Well, I mean, you can't.
Also, he's not even funny. Like, he's not funny. He's just a jerk to everyone all the time and a murderer and a
rapist.
Because
he's.
And he's called the comedian.
Well, yeah, he chose the name. Because he saw the world's true face and chose to be a parody of it. Yeah, but, you know, You know, time makes, you know, the past look a little better, even the real nasty bits.
Oh.
Like that one time your friend raped you.
I did. I will say that was one thing that was one thing I kind of liked.
Hood of Justice got him though.
Oh my god, he clocked him several times.
He's like, "What are you doing?" Or something, whatever his accent was. He's like, yeah. "Pow!" And he's like, "You get off on this." Guy's like, "What?"
He's like a British, a stocky British man.
In the joke, the thing is, his thing, executioner, right? He has the executioner's hood on and the noose around his neck.
It's fun.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. It was really, it was a family-friendly costume.
On the bright side, I did figure out why Dr. Manhattan had his name. I figured out all myself. Ready? I'm going to lay it on you.
Okay.
Because the Manhattan Project.
Yep.
I felt so smart. I felt real dumb about the thinking the Watchmen came out in the 50s, but I felt real smart about piecing together why Dr. Manhattan's name was Dr. Manhattan.
They do reference it in the movie.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Sure. Also, this movie's 2 hours and 46 minutes, and there's 80 characters, and it spans over 30 years, so
he's the main one.
I don't want to hear. His
blue junk is in every shot. You've
seen this 2 times.
It's in every shot.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. He's a blue man.
He's naked.
They made him blue, and he's naked for a lot of the movie, and I thought he looked a little dated.
You think so?
Just a little bit. I didn't... His eyes were white, which is, and his voice was dumb. Can I just say that?
That's his voice. That's the guy. That's the actor's voice.
And he talked so quietly the whole time, and he put no emotion into his voice.
That's his whole thing. He has no emotion.
It was like I was annoyed by halfway through. Also, he treats everyone so poorly. Like he's a dick to all the women. Yeah. He dates a girl and then trades her for a younger girl, and then later dates her daughter. And you're just like, what?
No, no.
Why are you doing this?
No, no. He didn't trade her for the daughter. He got rid of his old aging woman.
Right.
For the daughter girl.
Oh, okay. So he didn't.
So he never dated the mom.
He didn't date Silk Spectre 1.
No, no.
But he did date Silk Spectre 2. And he did.
Because he wasn't a part of the original one. Gosh.
Just like.
The original group.
Everything he does is like, you're dumb. Your penis is blue. What's that about?
It's blue.
He's so blue.
His whole body's blue, but it's really mostly about.
I don't know why I took this note, but it's a whatever you do, don't date a scientist. I don't know if that was the mom's advice to Silk Spectre 2 or not, but
no.
His voice, it was just obnoxious. Like by the end of the movie, I was like, after 3 hours, I'd hear him go, "I'm so smart, but also I'm dumb and not whatever.
That
I'm gonna go to Mars."
Why is he British?
I don't know.
He's an American scientist.
This is the worst. And then, like, when it was the actor playing him before Dr. Manhattan, I was like, this guy's great. He's doing a great job.
Yeah, he is a good actor.
And he turns into Dr. Manhattan. I was like, this is boring.
He nails the character of Dr. Manhattan. You just don't like the character of Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah. These are the kind of movies I have a hard time with, Tyler. When there's, like, no characters.
Why do you hate good writing?
I like or want to root for. There's no one here I wanted to root for except for Rorschach.
Rorschach. I liked Owlboy.
Yeah, he was pretty good. I mean, he was such a goober.
He's a goob.
So much so.
Stop looking at the timeline, Cody.
I don't know.
Stop it.
I was surprised, like, he knew how to have sex. Because of how much a goober he was the whole time. And then, like, they do. I was like,
he's
also
rich and Batman. But Owlman.
But he doesn't seem to have a lot of friends. He seems pretty reclusive. And, oh, he's so goober. Such a goober. Because Silk Spectre 2 is like... Well, Dr. Manhattan's not treated well, so I'm just going to latch on to Night Owl.
As they say, oozing sex.
Yeah. She's dripping with the sexual energy, and he's kind of like, oh well, uh-oh.
He's like, ooh, well. Oh, my. Just at the very end, Silk Spectre 1 gives him a little spank, little pop pop.
Slaps him on the tush. He's got a nice tush.
We discussed.
You see so much of Dr. Manhattan's blue
during
butt.
The film.
And Dr. Manhattan is CG'd to have the perfect male form. I looked this up. This is canonical. In the graphic novel, he was like, perfect male form. That's what I'm going to look like. But then later, when you see the tush of Night Owl 2, you're like, nope, better tush.
I asked you.
Gotta give it up.
I asked you during the sex scene, who has the better butt?
No, it wasn't during the sex scene. It was when he's standing naked in his.
It
in
was
his, in his
when he's posing.
Basement, and he's like,
He is flexing during that. Very obviously, he is flexing hard.
He's working it.
Yeah. Which, here's the thing. You mentioned something, and I've heard people bring this up before, where he's standing there in front of his Night Owl suit after the CX, after the failed CX. And he is naked. And everyone's like, so gratuitous is what you said. And I said, you know, I understand why they do it in most movies. But if you were in your bed, like you slept naked. You're like, I'm going to get up and go do something in my house at night, not near any windows. Are you going to get fully dressed from your naked state, or are you just going to walk and do it naked? You're probably just going to do it naked.
Yeah. That's where you get the name Night Owl from, because owls don't wear any clothes, and at neither night. Does he.
Also, his head turns completely around one time.
What? During sex, during the sex during scene, set rotates completely.
Yeah.
So, answer me this question.
All right.
It seems like you've already said this, but this was a question I had while watching it. So these are all intentional, like caricatures and spoofs of existing superheroes.
I felt like that. Yes.
Is that the point of the graphic novel? It's supposed to be like,
yeah, I don't know.
In a different universe, because it's like a criticism of like violence and whatever and stuff.
Is it?
I don't know. That's what I've heard.
Let me pop also it out here. We got comedian is Joker, owl is bat, silk is cat, Ozzy, who knows, blue, meh. I don't know who the other ones were.
So there are three that are pretty close.
Yeah.
Rorschach is Batman. Dick Tracy.
Yeah. Yeah, Dick Tracy.
And Rorschach is kind of funny too, because he's like pulling such a hard 30s Private Eye vibe, but it's 1986.
Yeah, like even he's, you know, he does the voiceover of everything, and everything is, I think even the comic, it's all his journal is the narration.
Yeah. Oh, so since you brought him up and since he's the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Rorschach, the actor who plays him,
mm-hmm.
really is that short. Also, he plays the Terror in the Tick Amazon series, and he is terrifying. Like, they did an amazing job on his makeup, and he does a raspy voice, and it's terrifying.
Again, I think that's just his voice.
No, it's not.
It's not?
Well, it's a different voice than in this movie, so either he's affecting his voice, and also, it's not, that's, no one's natural voice is that, unless they smoke 12 packs of cigarettes a day and are 80 years old. Anyway, point is, I was trying to figure out who this guy was, and I was like, oh yeah, he's Oscar nominated, or did he win? I think he's just nominated for an Oscar, and that's what got him this. Anyway, he plays the Terror. He does a great job. He's one of those like actors that doesn't have a lot of roles, but the stuff he's in seems to be really good in it.
Yep, he's everybody's favorite movie of ever, or everybody's favorite part of everybody's least favorite movie.
I would. So he gets busted, put in jail, gets framed.
Does. What do you think of that fight scene though when they get him?
That was cool.
It was cool.
He's shooting fire out of cans, and he's scrapping, and he's not going down without a fight. It was cool.
You know my favorite part of that part, that scene?
What's that?
So you know how in all the fight scenes of every movie, it's like they're surrounded by dudes, and the dudes approach them one at a time?
Mm-hmm.
The reason they're able to beat Rorschach is because they don't do that. One comes at him, the other one comes back, hits him in the back of the leg with his thing.
Yeah.
Another one piles on him from the side. He hits that guy, he kicks the guy behind him and punches him, and then they hit him again with a bunch of dudes all at once, and then they just pile on him, and that's how they're able to beat him.
Yeah.
Because it shows, one, if you show the superhero like beating off a couple waves of that, it makes them look way cooler because they're like fighting off several people at once.
Yeah.
And it shows that the police are smart.
Mm-hmm. Unlike the detectives, who are dumb.
They're very dumb. But it's one of those scenes that's like, this movie, I bet you there are like fan edits of this movie that are really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Like, there's a fantastic movie in this mediocre movie.
I mean, if you think about, I'm sure they've got a solid like 4.5 hours of usable footage that you could clip a 2-hour movie out of.
Oh, that's really the good. Zack Snyder cut. It's 4.5.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
He likes the Snyder cuts. That's what they're called.
The what you call
it? Nah, I don't know. I was like, I'm going to try to say it all as one word, and then I didn't.
Also, so he gets busted. He gets put in jail.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, and then someone's like, hey, you busted me or whatever. And then he goes to stab him, and Warshak's like, nah. He uses the tray, hits him, throws a fire basket on him. He's like, hey, I'm not locked in with you guys. You're locked in here with me. And you're like, Rorschach, but they're like, you're so cool.
Yeah, he's like shouting it as a bunch of guards are like pinning him down. He's like, rrr. Yeah.
It was awesome. And there's a point where it's like right after the sex happens in Archie. Yeah. They're cuddling. They're still naked. And they're like, you know what? We got to bust out Rorschach. I'm like, what? You guys are sitting here having sex. Meanwhile, your friend is in jail. Anyway, and I was just hoping that they were going to crash into the jail totally naked still, just like going like, in.
What's up?
That's just what the first thing I thought. They're like, let's bust this guy. I'm like, you're not wearing clothes.
I do like the part when they're fighting, right? When they're doing their superhero thing again.
Uh-huh.
And Goober turns to Silk Six, and he's just like... He just gives this little goober smile, like, yeah, we're doing it again.
That's the other thing about Night Owl, too, is, like, this takes place in 1986, and he's got, like, 50s glasses and, like, still, like, is wearing all those, like, what?
He wears a cardigan.
There, yeah. He just,
like, I wool one.
I was like, what?
He dresses like an 80-year-old professor.
Yeah. I
love him. He's so adorable.
It just, yeah.
And he's a little cute. But yeah, and then like all the bad guys are coming at him in the prison, and it's like, got it. And then they're just you can tell he I don't think he has the why. Like, he does some cool fights, and every time I see this, I'm always like, good on you, Patrick Wilson, because I could tell the way that you have to turn your shoulders to look at people.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a huge range of motion in this.
It's very costume. Much. It's very much a Batman spoof in that there's very low flexibility in his suit. You know,
so he's like hitting him, but he like has to hit him like with his like elbow.
Turn his
lock.
Whole body and lock his elbow and do a punch.
Which, to be fair, is like you're supposed to turn your whole body when you hit somebody. Right. But it's funny because I'm like, you're forced. Able to look. I feel like he's able to look very move and look like he's moving pretty fluidly when it's like. But then when they stop and he's just standing there and he's like, what? What's that? You're slightly too far to the left. I can't see you. I'm just going to trust that you're there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you just killed a bunch of guys.
That is funny.
So I am impressed with that, you know? So I was like, Also, I love how I almost mentioned it during the film, but I waited. I controlled myself to see. He plays Aquaman's brother in the Aquaman movie. And you didn't notice
that. And that blew my mind. As soon as you said that, I was like, makes so much sense.
But I waited because you said something like at the beginning of the movie where you were like, oh, what else is he in? But you said it like under your breath. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be killing him the whole movie. I'm thinking that's why you don't like Night Owl. Because every time he came on, you're like, What are you? But yeah, that's what he is in, and he also does a fantastic job in that movie, in my opinion.
Yeah,
so good.
He did well.
I liked him.
Yeah, I was reading up on this movie, and pretty much, I mean, a lot of actors kind of have the story with this movie, but they offered him the role, or they mentioned it to him, and he was like, I don't know. And he asked one of his friends, who is a comic book buff, I was like, have you heard about this Watchmen thing? His friend was like, don't ask any questions. Accept the role.
Yes.
And he was like, okay, well, I guess. And so he took it. But,
yeah.
I don't know. I want to get more into making this movie, but I want to kind of wrap up my thoughts on the story. The F? Is there a baby in here?
What is happening?
I think Kaylin was just waking up from his nap.
Oh.
That makes sense.
That does make sense, yeah.
I wrote this note. Parents need to do a better job at not arguing in front of their children, because it happens twice in this movie. You talk about this? It's like the exact same set, dude. And it's like Rorschach when he was a kid, and then Silk Spectre 2 when she was a kid. But it's just like both their parents are like shouting at each other for something, and they're shouting about the kid, and then they turn and the kid's like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, you get out of here. It's like, you're the one shouting in your very small apartment with the door open.
Rorschach's parents were not arguing. She was doing her job as a prostitute.
Sex worker.
And he was like, Mom, is he hurting you? And the guy was like, you brought a... What? And then she smacked him.
Oh, yeah.
Clean his and then... And then Silk Spectre's mom is caught being like, I should have had that abortion. Yeah. And then little baby Silk Spectre,
she was like, what? Who's?
And then she just sits on her bed like, And I'm like, nah, yeah. It's not, you never want to get caught saying that.
I just thought it was funny. They're like, well, she's the same set. Let's just turn it over.
Well, they made it slightly darker for the hooker house.
Yeah, they did. Okay. Can we talk about the end of this movie?
Are you going to talk about the cat?
Honestly, okay, and you know I am.
Yes.
The end might be like, Rorschach's part and the end are probably my favorite parts of this movie.
Almost like if that was the whole movie.
Like if they had trimmed out 40 minutes of fat and just like led with that plot.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what the plot is until the last 20 or 30 minutes. You're like, oh, this is what's been going on.
Yeah, the plot is supposed to be that somebody's killing superheroes, but I feel like they cut out a bunch of other superheroes.
They just killed the comedian. And yeah, so it's like, well, one superhero died for sure, but we all hate him anyway because he's the worst.
Yeah.
Who else did they kill?
Nobody.
Anyway, so
they tried to kill Veidt.
And they framed Rorschach and threw him in jail, but I don't know if that was even... No, they didn't try to kill Veidt. That was staged. Because
Veidt tried to kill Veidt.
Turns out Veidt's the bad guy.
Ozymandias.
Which makes sense. So they go into his lair.
Which
is like a pyramid in Antarctica, or what's that about?
So yeah, so it's at Karnak is the name of the place. He has named it Karnak. It's a new Karnak.
They roll up two questions.
It's his science facility.
Two questions. One, we roll up. He's watching 50 televisions. My question to you, why?
Here's the thing.
Why does he have a giant 50 TV sets on the wall? As the smartest man in the world, what is he getting out of watching 50 televisions, some of which are cartoons, some of which are pornography. What is he getting out of this?
First thing I noticed was the Looney Tunes.
And you noticed the Looney Tunes.
And then I heard you go, the stag film. Oh, my.
Yeah. I was like, what? Why? Tyler, why is he watching 50 televisions?
Well, later it comes up again because he has all the news on it. So that's the thing is it does come up again.
No, but I'm saying... Yeah, he could be watching it for the news. Why are there cartoons and pornography also?
I think he's just waiting. I think the whole purpose of it is to establish that they exist as those TVs are a thing. So that later when he turns them on, everyone's not like, where'd those come from? Also, then they're like, he's watching TV. We sneak up on him and he's like, I'm not really watching TV. I'm listening for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was great. Now let's talk about the kitty cat.
Talk about the cat.
So he's got a kitty cat.
He does.
It's like a small tiger mixed with an ocelot with a giant pointers on top of his head. I thought that was a weird touch.
I think it's probably supposed to be some Egyptian thing because he's all
it
that Egypt.
It seemed like, but don't they just like cats or jackals? I would like a cat or a jackal. I'd be like, yeah, but then it was like a mythological thing. So it was just, for me, it was like, we've established this is just a parallel version of our universe. There's superheroes, whatever.
It's a lynx.
But then there's like a... Yeah, but the giant thing on it was weird. It was computer generated. If it looked more like a real cat, I'd be like, okay, well, that's fine. But it was very obviously, it just didn't make sense. It was like, why is there a mystical kitty cat running around here? We've never seen any other mystical animals. It was weird. And it didn't do anything.
Here's the thing. The question that came up when I searched Watchmen Cat is, what happened to the cat?
Uh-huh.
Which, by the way, is named Babasatis.
Yeah.
Babasatis, probably. But it's a genetically engineered lynx.
Yep. Okay.
And everyone's like, what happened? I think it's pretty obvious what happened to it.
They ate it.
Yeah, it's a whole, like, it's a character. I think the whole purpose of it existing is for the people who are into the comics to be like, oh, it's the cat! You know?
Yeah.
But it's just his genetically engineered attack dog. that I feel like in the comics when it died, it was probably this big thing because it was a well-established sidekick to him. People loved it.
It popped up literally in the last 15 minutes.
And then he killed it.
Yeah.
To get Dr. Manhattan. But we didn't get that. It's definitely a thing that's meant for, I think,
for such a long movie. Keeps. It was like, wow, that.
So what they need to do is go back in. I think what I'm hearing from you is that they need to make the movie longer, not shorter.
No, here's what they need to do. And this is literally what's happening. HBO is doing a Watchmen series that's just starting. It's coming out this year.
Is it Watchmen?
I looked it up. I looked it up. And it's starting this year, Watchmen series. And so it's probably going to be like 10 parts. It'll probably delve much more into it. It'll probably have more of the feel that you would expect it to have and not be quite as cartoony, more gritty, HBO-y. Anyway, it'll probably be great. Or it won't. I don't know. HBO produces a lot of content. Some of it's fantastic. Some of it's just okay. I mean, it's good for HBO because they can do all the nudity. They can do all the adultiness they want, but they usually tend to get pretty good people on.
It's Damon Lindelof?
Uh-huh. Keep going. No, all right.
He's writing and producing it.
Yeah. What else has he done?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I expected you to know his name. I expected you to go,
oh, Dave?
David.
You mean Davey.
Damon, actually.
Oh.
But I got you with the David.
Damon.
Damon.
Tell me.
Oh, thank you.
What else has he done?
Let's see. Created by Damon. He's at Comic-Con in San Diego. Career. He did some Lost episodes.
Oh, wow. They're on Wikipedia.
He did Ultimate Wolverine versus Hulk.
Oh, comic book guy.
Yep.
Great.
Cowboys and Aliens.
Well.
He co-wrote Prometheus.
Okay, there's something.
He co-wrote Tomorrowland. Once Upon a Time.
So here's the thing about the end of this movie.
The Leftovers. And Lost.
Great. Thank you. Very comprehensive.
Yeah.
Thing about the end of this movie, I feel weird saying that I didn't think this movie was very well written. Because this is like a famously well-written graphic novel.
Yeah.
I think maybe just the screenwriting of it wasn't that good. But I loved the end plot. Where it turns out all this stuff has been put forth by Ozymandias. Is that his name?
Ozymandias.
Yeah. And
I am Ozymandias. Is his bust?
Yes.
They said, no. I am Ozymandias, King of Kings. Behold my works. That's and fun. Tremble.
I just liked the whole point of this is that he stages this big attack by Dr. Manhattan. That to look like it's done by Dr. Manhattan so that the United States and the Soviet Union will end the Cold War and there will be peace in the world. I'm like, oh, so it's this really twisted thing this superhero, supervillain guy does to save the world? It was really interesting. And then the final big conflict is you've got Night Owl and you've got Rorschach. And Night Owl's like, seems like he's going to be okay living with it. They're like, well, peace, greater good. Whereas Rorschach is like, can't compromise his morals to lie to people about it.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you know, you have to kill me. I can't. And so they kill Rorschach right there.
Well,
like,
oh. Dr. Manhattan blows him up.
Blows him up. And it was a beautiful shot of like his blood in the snow looks just like the Rorschach thing.
Yeah.
Ink blot. And I was like, that was really cool. That was a great touch. I was like, man, I wish they would have tightened the movie up and focused on that line. Would have loved it.
Yeah. And just kind of made
HBO will do it. We'll see.
Yeah, what they need to do, I feel like, with the Dr. Manhattan character is make him out as this, like, mysterious, almost deity, where he only shows up very, very seldom. Like, he's almost never there.
Yeah.
People reference him a lot and what he's doing, but you don't, like, there's no monologue by, like, internal monologue by him or anything. He's just like this.
You saw so much of his character and you're like, oh, you're like a god thing, except that you don't feel, but you do, but also you're a jerk to everyone. And so
it's like, everyone's so beneath where he is that he's just like he says in that interview where they're like, your friend died. How do you feel about that? And he's like, a live human body and a dead human body have the same number of particles structurally. There's no difference.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool how that and Silk Spectre Night Owl killing a bunch of gangsters is happening, like, switching in between those two.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a weird choice, but I liked it for some reason.
Yeah. It's just it's weird because there were a lot of good parts about this movie.
Yeah. As a like, whole, I liked how they made out, like, Dr. Manhattan is literally, like, he is capable of, like, he could, like, restructure a planet, or even references at the very end, like, he might make go make some life and, like, literally be, like, a godlike character.
Yeah.
And Ozymandias, Vite, talking about how he understands him and can read his face, facial twitches, and, like, how they make these two guys out to be so similar, and one is, like, he's becoming incapable of understanding humans, and the other one is just a very smart human, and how they're so similar in the way they are and how the way they look at the world.
Yeah, but we didn't focus on that. We focused on the sex scene in in this super ship.
They arrive together like lovers, and she hits that flamethrower. Which is the most gratuitously, like, on-the-nose moment of any movie ever, and I love it.
It was too much. I don't know. So, but, like, we go through this whole, this climax, if you'll pardon my expression, of this great moral ambiguity and the end of the plot. And you're like, whoa, that was actually really well written and really interesting and compelling. And then the next shot is... everything's peaceful on this newspaper. It's boring now. We got no stories. And it's just like such a goofy way to end the movie.
Well, and then it's like, then it's like check in the thing.
Check in the whatever files. And it's Rorschach showing. You're like, well, that's great. But why'd you have to arrive at it in such a dorky way where it's like two like portly, boring newspaper people being like, we need more stories. He's like, there are no stories. What's going on? Well, I'll cover the cheese festival. It was just dumb. I was like, that undercut everything you built to. Yeah. And you could have just been, it could have just been like, a newspaper person writing about something and then being like, I'm bored, and seeing that thing, you'd be like, wonder what that journal is. And then I just like, why?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's fine.
It was not a great way to
end it. The screenwriting was a downfall. One of the downfalls of this movie, I feel.
I wonder if, because it's looked at much like 300, is it's an incredibly faithful adaptation. And there are those, there are a lot of moments in, like, when you're adapting a book or a graphic novel where you have to change what happened to keep the flow, because in a graphic novel, like, you can look at the page and absorb the entire page at once,
yeah,
and it can all happen, and that scene just happens in a moment, whereas you'll have to make it like a 10-minute scene in a movie.
Yeah, and that seems like it suffered in that, where it's like, it's 2 hours and 46 minutes, it's 12 volumes of a graphic novel, you gotta pick your battles as to what is gonna flow and make a good, and there was no flow to this story. It was all over the place for 2 hours, and then it got a little direction. Once it settled in, it was good.
Yeah.
It was like, you gotta pick your battles, and I don't think they picked them well.
Nah. I definitely think it could be remade into another movie, or even a bunch of movies. Like, I could see a cool idea for this movie. I don't know how well it would be. But I like the idea of it. Of having like three movies and release them all at once, and they're different heroes on this of this group.
That'd be interesting.
Because you couldn't do a trilogy, I feel like, because they would be like, the first two movies would be super boring.
Yeah,
but it'd be cool to have this is Rorschach's.
It's the same problem movie. With like splitting Harry Potter 7 into two movies, where the first movie like doesn't have a climax or a third act. But if you release them as separate stories, you might be able to do it. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I guess it just goes back to the series thing. If you did it as a miniseries like HBO is doing, you could kind of pull that off more.
Yeah.
It'd be the same way, like, if you watch the Daredevil series, like, each episode or two kind of have its own little arc and battles, but then there's questions at the end of each episode that build up to the main story.
Yeah, so it's like you have things...
which is what they tried to do, but it doesn't work in a 2-hour-and-46 movie format with all those characters, and you don't go quite deep enough into anything, and it doesn't quite tie together enough. That's it. Now, the question is, do you want to hear my fun facts about this movie?
Tell me.
I looked up so many fun facts.
Tell me.
I only have a few.
Tell me.
Fun fact number one. There are two characters that don't use any expletives in the movie. They are?
Blue guy.
Dr. Manhattan, and Rorschach. Rorschach has some of the best dialogue in this movie and the coolest narratives, and he never swears. Him. Isn't that cool?
You hated him.
He's such a gritty character and so visceral, but he never swears. I thought that was really interesting. He's a good boy. He's a good boy.
He hates the liberals.
He's a good rough boy.
And the comp... He hates everybody.
So yeah, he does.
I think, well, it is funny because when you first watch it, you know, you're like, oh, he's like super insane, like right wing, hates liberals. And I'm like, I think he just hates the extremists.
Well, there's a difference between like liberal politics and liberal like people without morals. See, what he's saying is like he's like a conservative morally.
Yeah.
And these people that are liberal morally.
Yeah.
He can't stand it. He like the dirty part of the city and the sinful part of the city, and he doesn't want any part of that. Yeah. You know,
but he also hates Nixon and like all that side of it too, like the super
these crooked yeah. people in power. That
so it's interesting. It's like, you know, when you first watch it, you're like, oh, this is just like a super conservative, like whatever. And then it's like, I think he just hates, like, he's in this zone of like. What people like, he thinks people should be like, yeah. And everybody who's outside of that, he's like, you're mm-hmm. awful. I hate you. I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But he's a good old boy.
This so ever since this came out in 1986, the comic mm-hmm. book,
right?
They've been talking about adapting this into film.
It's difficult,
and it is very ambitious. And in the early 90s, they offered it to one director, and he was like, "It's gonna be hard as a film. Tell you what." We could do it as a 5-hour miniseries at a cost of like $1 million per page. And the studio was like, no, because that's like
a lot of money.
$300 million basically is what he's estimating it's going to cost.
I think if they poured the money into it, I think it would make its money back very easily right now. People are into the comic books. And it's like the mix of people wanting, they need a, like an epic story to replace Avengers.
Well, this is a DC comic. And if you're thinking about the DC universe, you're trying to compete.
DC like, sucks.
This could be DC's Daredevil or Defenders. You know how like those were going really well for a little bit? I'm just saying like when Daredevil came out, it was like, oh, here's a really gritty comic book story told over a series of a season. Like they could have done that with this.
Yeah.
But instead, DC's like, no, we're doing TV-14, we're doing a Green Arrow, we're doing our Flash, we're doing, which is fine. Like, there's some value in those, but it's not filling that same gap.
Yeah. How much, did you look up how much they spent on this one?
No. It's going to be a big one.
Tell me.
210?
$130 million.
Oh.
Made 180.
There you go. A little profit there.
Yeah, just a little bit.
More fun facts?
Fun facts.
Alan Moore. The yes. author of the graphic novel is famously bitter about having sold his movie rights when he was really young. So he sold movie rights to V for Vendetta, which I love that movie.
Yeah.
He sold rights to this, and then there's one other escaping me right now, but there's another
300.
Oh, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, I believe, is his as well. But he's famously bitter about having sold the rights to those, and he's just ever since then. So like people ask him, like, oh, what'd you think of the Watchmen movie? He's like, I would never watch that BS and whatever, and I'm so mad that people are making movies out of my stuff. I just thought that was interesting. So a lot of directors have been offered this movie.
Mm-hmm.
One of our favorites was offered. This one. At one point it was rumored at least that Tim Burton was offered the movie.
I think now Tim Burton would do a good job.
Unfortunately, he was doing Sweeney Todd at the time, and he got wrapped up doing Alice in Wonderland, so he didn't have time. But he was going, of course, to have Johnny Depp play the comedian. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, this guy is a lot better.
Yeah, definitely. There's a story about this director. Like, he came in, and he seemed like he really didn't care about the audition, and like when they were talking about the movie, and like Zack Snyder was like, something about that I don't give a crap attitude. I like that. And so he cast him as the comedian because he thought like, oh, this guy's gruff, kind of unlikable, and that's the vibe we're going for.
Yeah.
I like him. Last fun fact.
Tell me.
Billy Crudup.
Mm?
Crudup. Crudup.
Yeah.
I don't know his name.
Everybody knows him.
Guy who plays Dr. Manhattan.
Right.
He's in another movie we have watched and done a podcast
yes,
on.
Yes, he is.
You know what movie that is?
Oh, I just looked it up and I've forgotten it already. Tale of Two Cities.
Good guess. No, he is in the English dub of Princess Mononoke.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. Which has great voice acting. So when I hear
what did he do?
I'm working on my atoms. Yeah,
he just got his real.
I'm going to Mars.
He's real. No emotions at all. Gosh. What does he voice in Mononoke? Oh, Princess Mononoke. When did that come out? When did they do it?
97.
Oof, is that? Oh, he is. Ashitaka.
Prince Ashitaka.
He's the guy?
The main guy.
The main guy?
Doesn't he do a great job in that?
So good.
I love the voice acting for Ashitaka.
His most recent movie? This year. Nobody knows. He was in Justice League, though.
Oh, gosh. And he's in Almost Famous, which is a great movie.
He was in Covenant. I don't know if you remember him in there.
Oh, I forgot he was in Covenant. That surprised me.
But in Justice League, he plays the Flash's father.
Oh.
In prison. Your dad's in prison.
He works at a prison.
I mean, I'm not wrong. He is in a prison. Maybe not at this moment.
Would you recommend this movie?
I think it's much better, at least in my opinion, the first watch through. Because knowing where it was going and seeing how long it takes to actually get to what matters to that end point makes it more rough.
Yeah, I found myself so many times asking, what is this about? And if I had known, I think I would have been butthurt. Like, why are we wasting our time with all this other stuff that has nothing to do with anything?
It makes it really, really obvious what doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'd say, I mean, if you're interested in it, it's worth seeing because there are some people who love this movie.
Yeah, I would agree. I think if you're really interested in it, check it out. There are some great things in it, and it is quite an undertaking, very ambitious.
Yeah.
So if you're interested, check it out. If you're not, or if you're like me and you're a real film snob, story snob, writing snob, maybe not.
But you even said the writing is good for Rorschach.
No.
The dialogue.
I mean, the screenwriting in general is not great, but Rorschach's writing is good, and the general story, the conclusion of the story is great.
Oh, it's so good.
But there's just so many parts of it that are like, this is not working.
Yeah. So the thing I wanted to point out was, so instead of getting just a dude to play Kennedy shaking hands with Dr. Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
They
Forrest Gumped it.
So what they did,
took footage of Kennedy and they put Tom Hanks in
but
it.
Did you notice Kennedy's face had that like weird like that World War One documentary by Peter Jackson has?
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was like, he's talking. He gave this whole speech at the beginning of that documentary about how this is like groundbreaking techniques. It's been 10 years, Peter.
I mean, it looks a lot better step in his documentary your than in game. This, I think.
Step it up.
Right. But, yeah.
Yeah, it does look weird. Like, there are a lot of those shots where it's difficult. I would recommend that if anybody's interested in World War One. It's difficult to think of that, like, look at that and be like, that is World War One. That I'm looking.
You're talking about They Shall Not Be.
They Shall Not Grow Old.
They Shall Not Grow Old. Fascinating World War One documentary. They restored old World War One footage.
Really, it looks like a reenactment. It looks like they're reenacting stuff.
And so you're watching footage that took place in 1917 in color.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
But it's like once your eyes adjust to like that weird like motion that everything has.
Yeah.
Then it just looks like it. Yeah, it just looks
the
like
the color of it's brilliant. It like, oh my god, I've only seen wars this old vibrant in black and white, but then it's like here it is in color,
and it's all smooth. Whereas they were like, they're always like, you know,
it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. If you're only gonna see one, if you like history, maybe see that. If you wanna see people naked, maybe watch The Watchmen. If you want to see those Atlantean buns.
A lot of blue buns.
Atlantean. I'm talking about Night Owl. They're
no,
tight.
I know what you're talking about.
It's like talking about you blue could buns. Detach them. There's so much dimple. Anyway, would you recommend it?
If you're interested in it. Okay. Otherwise, it's very long, so maybe not.
But if people wanted to recommend to you a better movie than this, Cody,
they could simply create a Twitter account.
Yeah.
Tweet me at Opinion Havers. We take recommendations. No one's taking our. So if you don't like the selection of movies we do, it is your fault. Yeah. It's not on me. It's not on Tyler. It's on you.
And most of you know Cody personally.
That's true.
Show up to his house. Tie the movie you want us to watch to a brick. Throw it through his window.
My window's already cracked. They just put like a little piece of tape over it, like I wouldn't.
Yeah, they did.
So, I mean, do me a favor, break my window so they have to replace the whole thing.
It's not even real tape.
It's like a weird bonding felt tape. Yeah, I don't even know what it is.
Anyway, yeah.
If you're looking to pass this along to someone else,
you do the podcast stuff.
We got Spotify. We got Apple Podcasts. We got Stitcher.
The Google.
Anything.
Podbean.
Pod buns.
I was about to say the exact same thing. Pod Owl, Night, Cast, all of the ones. Potty.
Like Archie Potty. Gosh.
But, you know, until you share us with all your friends and make us millionaires from talking about movies. Now I'm depressed. What do they do? I
have opinions.
You just watch movies.
Like, the thing about the penis, like, it's the blue penis, it's blue, but also, oh, your mic's gonna go. It's always flaccid, but it doesn't move at all.
No, it's floppy.
I didn't see it flop
There's
once.
There's so much flop to all the right. bean.
It's we, going like, blah, 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 we're blah, blah, blah. Queuing up the movie.
It's like I'm gonna flick it and it's gonna be like, bang.
And we're rewatching because I did not see it move once, and I spent a lot of time looking at it.
Yeah, we both did. That's it. Pull it up. We're gonna look at it some more.